Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with the new Eastern Regional President for Caesars Entertainment, John Koster, who explains how he's approaching the recovery from the pandemic as he assumes his new position over the Atlantic City, Philadelphia, and Baltimore Caesars casinos. This week's program is thanks in part to Konami Gaming, whose Las Vegas-based systems development team serves casinos around the globe with top Synchros technology. John Koster began his career in hospitality, and after some experience on the Pacific Rim, he returned to the U.S. to work for several gaming companies. He joined El Dorado Resort several years ago and oversaw the company's properties in Lake Tahoe both before and after the Caesars transaction. Just recently, he was tapped to replace the retiring Steve Callender and now oversees the three Atlantic City properties as well as Harrah's Philadelphia and Horseshoe Baltimore for Caesars. He explains how he navigated the pandemic in Lake Tahoe and what he expects of the Atlantic City properties where Caesars has committed to reinvesting millions of dollars. He spoke with me for the cover story of the August issue of Global Gaming Business in July. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is John Koster. John's the new president of regional properties in Atlantic City for Caesars Entertainment. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Roger. It's my pleasure.
It's really nice to meet you, but I don't know your background. Usually, I've met somebody who's reached your level at some point during their career, but for some reason, we missed each other. So why don't you give us a little background of where you've been and what you've done? How'd you get into the industry to begin with?
Well, fortunately, had a good dad that pointed me in the right direction. Okay. So it was either flipping hamburgers for McDonald's, joining the Army, or perhaps pursuing a hotel career. And fortunately, I did that. Paul Smith's in upstate New York by Saranac Lake, Lake Placid.
Okay.
Worked for a little while in a Holiday Inn and then saw I wasn't really going anywhere. So down to FIU in Miami to get my four-year degree.
Okay.
I got picked up by ITT Sheraton, and they immediately moved me to the Royal Hawaiian Hotel.
Nice.
In Hawaii, Waikiki Beach. There I was. It was unbelievable. Couldn't believe it. 9 months into the training program, we acquired the Wentworth in Sydney, Australia, so they needed six trainees to go down.
And
supposedly for a month, I was there for six, the full extent of my visa.
Yeah. Okay.
And then back through New Zealand on the way out, met a couple of the GMs there, back to Hawaii, and then they brought me back to New Zealand to be a front office manager at the Sheraton Rotorua.
Wow.
So then up to the Sheraton Auckland to be rooms division manager back in 85. Then up to Hong Kong. My boss had been moved up to Hong Kong to be the Sheraton Asia Pacific Division president, and he moved me up to be director of rooms and reservations for Sheraton Asia Pacific Division, based in the British Crown Colony of Hong Kong.
Love Hong Kong.
Of Hong Kong. It was great. So I was there for 5 years, three as director of rooms and res. Mm-hmm. Then they moved me into the manager position of the 900-room Sheraton Hong Kong, which was our second most important property in the 450-property chain. 2 years there, and they said, well, now we've got a property for you to open up in Thailand. So off is my first GM assignment, first opening, a lot of firsts.
You must have been pretty young at that point.
About 31.
Wow.
Yeah. I was the youngest GM in Sheraton Asia Pacific Division. So we got that 344-key property opened up in Phuket.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful place.
Yes.
Love Phuket.
Mm-hmm.
Had no desire to leave, and that's, of course, when they move you.
Right, of course.
So I got a call from our Australian HR director in Hong Kong saying, g'day, mate, they want you to go back to the States. So I went back to the States, interviewed for the GM position at the Desert Inn.
Mm-hmm.
ITT Sheraton was acquiring the Desert.
Yes,
remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So in 93, they were building the MGM,
right.
Treasure Island and I think Luxor, and MGM was moving out of the Desert Inn. They sold it to ITT,
mm-hmm.
and I got there in July, mid-July of 93, and stepped out into 115-degree heat, and they told me it was a dry heat, so it was a little different from the tropical beaches of Phuket.
That's for sure.
So there began a five-year stint at the mm-hmm. Desert Inn, GM for 4 years, working for four different presidents, and then I became president, presided over the $230 million renovation of the Desert Inn.
Right.
You probably remember that.
Yes, I do.
Beautiful at the
mm-hmm.
end. And then the hostile takeover attempt by Hilton and then Starwood began on ITT. And they actually acquired ITT in, I think, February of 98 and the 75-year-old ITT disappeared.
Right.
And it then became Starwood. Starwood kept, you know, the gaming side of it for a while, but they eventually spun it off. Meanwhile, they eventually spun off me as president and a bunch of GMs because they wanted to put their own people in. So I was lucky enough to get picked up by Tom Jenkin, who was then the general manager of Harrah's Las Vegas.
Right.
So I'd gone through an interviewing process with Hector Mann, Carlos Tolosa, you might remember that name.
All of those
wonderful,
very well.
Wonderful people. Yep. And then with Tom, and I became VP of Hotel Ops at the recently expanded and renovated Harrah's Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. 3 years there, and then they needed a AGM down in Laughlin. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a GM, but Tom was, of course, always frugal, so I started as an AGM and then became GM down there. And we did a lot of good things with service and air programs, so they moved me up to Tahoe. In it was right around Labor Day of 2005 as regional president. So I had Harrah's and Harvey's Lake Tahoe and Harrah's Reno reporting to me. They added in corporate teleservices because of my rooms and reservations background from Sheraton Asia Pacific. And then later Laughlin, because I had run Laughlin and I knew that property very well.
Okay.
So I was up there for almost 13 years. And we did a lot of great things. We really improved celebrity golf, American Century Celebrity Golf, improved the summer concert series. Presided over some renovations, but it kind of dried up on us there for a while.
I've stayed at Harrah's Reno the last time I was in Reno, the last time it was open, so and it really had looked a little shabby.
Starved. Yeah, so thank God we now have the Row, which the Row and Tahoe is just a beautiful, Harrah's and Harvey's Lake Tahoe is a wonderful combination. So then let's just say the Legacy Caesars folks had a had enough of a number of the regional presidents, so about four of us left in 18. I was lucky enough to be introduced to Tom Rieg, who was then the CFO of Eldorado Resorts, and then interviewed with him, and then, you know, with Gary Carano, Anthony Carano, and Glenn Carano, and they were just acquiring Tropicana and the Grand Victoria Casino in Elgin, Illinois, and they offered me the job as GM in Elgin. So I went over, moved to Elgin, Illinois to help with that transition. I think we did a very good job. We increased the EBITDA significantly in 1 year. Meanwhile, while this was going on, they began the acquisition of Caesar's Legacy.
Right.
And so, you know, I provided some assistance in that area, at least some of the things that I knew. And we acquired Caesar's Entertainment on July 20th, 2020. They had moved me into corporate from Elgin, ready to go into Tahoe, but it got delayed, of course, by COVID. And they brought me back to my old stomping ground in my old office with my old team in Lake Tahoe on July 20th, 2020, when we acquired Caesars, Eldorado did, and July 20th is my birthday.
No kidding.
You can't ask for a better birthday present than that.
It's amazing,
So then I was minding my own business in Lake Tahoe. We were, you know, kind of setting EBITDA records month after month, all time. And we really benefited greatly from a number of things. We had some California tailwinds that were blowing very nicely. And so our leadership, Tom and Anthony, wonderful people, said, we've got a new assignment for you. So here I am. And so four different jobs with Eldorado and Caesars in less than 3 years. I've moved a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but you know, Elgin is a little different than Phuket, I guess.
Yes, there is a great difference. Yes, indeed, Roger.
But you know, now you're here in Atlantic City. You've had some competitive experience in the past. I guess Laughlin and Tahoe, they all are.
And Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas, they all are pretty
and high. Elgin, you know, I've been in competitive environments before, certainly.
So you get here. The pandemic is winding down. So what kind of impact is the Caesars properties here in Atlantic City still suffering from about the pandemic?
Well, they did, of course. We all did. Everybody here did. Same thing in Tahoe. But as things began to open up, and I think we were moving towards fully open here, and well, more open in May. It had opened up quite a bit more in May, and so, you know, I mean, prior to that, you know, of course, we experienced the same thing in Tahoe. If people, especially our more, let's say, senior customers, if they hadn't had the shots yet, they weren't traveling. Meanwhile, we saw a lot of unrated play, you of course know what that is, coming across from California in never-before-seen droves, basically. So that was kind of replacing you know, the high end customer to some degree.
Sure.
Then about March, just like here, as people were getting more shots in the arm, if you will. Mm-hmm. By the way, I had mine by the Nevada National Guard, okay. Two shots, second one on April 15th, Pfizer, wonderful people, love the National Guard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we did 2,600 vaccinations at Harris Lake Tahoe. So as more people got vaccinated, and then as we, you know, have more and more people have already had it. I had it supposedly in Thanksgiving, pretty much asymptomatic, but supposedly I had it, so I guess I got antibodies and a shot.
Right.
So I think as people are getting more comfortable with it, you know, they're traveling.
Right.
And boy, was it kicking in there, mm-hmm. as it is kicking in here. I mean, we are seeing occupancies here now that are getting very close to where we were in 2019, mm-hmm. and we're seeing very good gaming volume, no question mm-hmm. about it. The groups are starting to come back. We've got a 2,000-person pool table group here today, I believe, and they're here for the rest of the week, I think. So groups are starting to come back. We've got our group leader, Mike Massari, who's our SVP of groups, meetings, mm-hmm. and conventions, coming out on July 1st to visit us here. We have some discussions about a very growing fall piece of business, mm-hmm. not to mention next year.
Sure.
So really starting to kick in big time here in Atlantic City, right across the board. Wonderful to see. I think my timing is pretty good coming over here.
Yeah, no question. You're going to get credit for all this recent business.
I don't know about that. But.
So how long did it take people to really get comfortable, even in Tahoe when you were there, to come back? I mean, you were getting a lot of traffic in California because everything was shut down in California, including the tribal casinos that they probably normally went to.
And they couldn't you know, really eat comfortably indoors.
Yeah.
You know, the mask had to be on in between bites almost.
Right.
And, you know, so Tahoe, you know, we had the 25% restaurant restriction, then 35, then 50, then wide open. Limited number at the table, four, and then it's gone back to white. Same thing here. I mean, we're kicking back in. And I think as people just have more, I mean, some people I think are going to continue to wear a mask.
Right.
Some people I think are going to wear a mask, you know, forever now. But, you know, at the end, and, you know, there's discussion about, you know, the pros and cons of that. But at the end of the day, I think it's when people are feeling confident and comfortable, and as it gets warmer, I think, you know, people are in a more comfortable environment. We're not seeing spikes anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, hopefully any variants are well constrained by the vaccine. So great to see that everybody who can get a vaccine can get one.
Mm-hmm.
If you want one, you can get one.
Right. So, as you mentioned, in July of 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic, the transition from El Dorado to Caesars happened.
Yes, it did.
How smooth was that in Tahoe while you were there, and then what's your perception of how it happened here?
Well, not bragging, but because I had been in Tahoe for 12 and a half years, and that was my team,
that
was still there, it was a seamless mm-hmm. transition.
Yeah.
I told them it would be seamless, they'd trade up, and they'd save money, mm-hmm. which always true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, that worked. So, there it was easy. Here, you know, we are seeing, I think, as the properties are opening, it's easy for Caesars and Harris to open up with our systems because they already know the Caesars legacy systems.
Mm-hmm.
The great beneficiary of this transition, I think, is Tropicana.
Right.
Which I was over there last night, mm-hmm. and what a great property that is. I love the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I had dinner in the quarter last night. It was fantastic. And I think Tropicana is now that they're integrated into Caesars Rewards will benefit from our 55 million in the database.
Yeah, no question about that.
So that's a big time trade up for Trop. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback onto that, you know, with what we're going to be doing with groups and meetings from mm-hmm. a Caesars meetings point of view, I have a lot of experience with air charters in Laughlin and mm-hmm. Tahoe, optimize the programs. We're going to see an expansion of that program here for Caesars now that we've got the ERI legacy properties in markets. You know, some of our competitors are in, some they're not, mm-hmm. but we have all of these locations now that we can fly in nonstop where we already have a database.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now introducing either the ERI legacy to Caesars or the Caesars legacy to ERI, mm-hmm. in this case, Tropicana. So I think it's a really powerful combination that we're building, you know, the midweek base.
Sure.
And then, of course, we have the weekend surges,
yeah.
and not to mention the summer.
Yeah, we just did a story yesterday on air charters. You published it yesterday morning, and you know, it seems to be coming back in a lot of different areas now.
Oh, stay tuned.
Yeah.
We've got, I have a call, as a matter of fact, I think later today,
mm-hmm.
with our corporate leadership in that area, and they know I'm I'm selfish with planes. Let's just put it that way.
All right, great.
So when El Dorado bought Caesars here in New Jersey, they made a commitment to reinvest, you know, millions of dollars in the property, and certainly they a lot of them needed it, frankly.
No question.
So what are some of the plans of how that money's going to be spent?
So I can give you a lot of the plans, and I can tell you that we have committed this year, I believe, $170 million. We've started with the rooms. Now, normally, Roger, as you well know, being from the business, you would never do a rooms renovation in the summer in Atlantic City's 100 days of summer. But we are stepping up to the plate on that, and we you know, have the atrium tower out right now here.
Right.
You know, that's going along quickly, and it should be handed back to us end of July, beginning of August, and then we move on in the fall to our big one, you know, over 900 keys. So that is all pot committed. We also have, I think, Ocean out right now at Caesars, and I took a look at how that's going the other day. There's more, you know, difficulty of the dive issues at Caesars and some of the older rooms that are going to be fantastic when they get done. So that's going to roll probably later August, maybe into September, and then we step right into the next tower. So you're going to see the entire, most of the $400 million capital that we committed to, and that, by the way, as you point out, very, very needed here. Right. I mean, unfortunately, the old Caesars Legacy folks, it was tough to, you know, get capital in the regional locations. They did a pretty good job in Vegas, but, you know, in the regional locations, there was a lot of, you know, I'm not going to use the word starving, but not much capital.
Putting off renovations, let's put it that way.
Putting it off. But I think that the, you know, Casino Control Commission, DGE, stepped right up to the plate and said, hey, you know, you guys. And so Tom Rieg stepped right up to the plate and said, you know what, you're absolutely right, and we are all for that commitment. And at the end of the day, it's more than $400 million because we also have the 5% that are going to kick in after that. And, you know, by the time you get all said and done, there's some really great ideas, some of which I can tell you about, some of which I can't because they haven't been, you know, signed yet.
Right.
But believe me, I've got two calls today that are on exciting new things that are happening in terms of food, beverage, and entertainment.
Okay.
We've got some great ideas, and that's part of the $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Roger, you're going to see most of that $400 million completed by before the summer of 2022.
Okay, great.
That is the plan.
Well, I've heard some rumors. If you don't mention it here, we're going to talk off the record afterwards.
Yes. Okay. As long as you don't print anything.
No.
I'll get in a lot of trouble.
So you know, gambling revenues are really strong right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
certainly
they are.
They've come back, and you know, they're continuing to increase.
Yes.
So, but what about non-gaming revenues? Obviously, you just mentioned occupancy rates. That's always good news. That's always good revenue. But what about some of the other non-gaming?
A very aspects? Good point. So the demand is there, and right across the board, gaming, non-gaming, entertainment. So you know, the pool, for example. You know the model that we used to have at the pool at Harrah's, the pool after dark. Well, so now what we've got is, you know, dining with a vibe.
Right.
And I attended that the other last, I think it was last Friday. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great concept, great food, you know, nice entertainment in the water on the stage, great feeling. It then rolls into, you know, a modified version of the club, you know, what occurred the pool after dark in the past. We're not going to go back to, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people there. That's just not a model that works. But we're going to talk to the DGE to see if we can go from the approved 500 up to maybe 1,000 or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're going to see, you know, quality versus, you know, the previous quantity and the inherent challenges of, you know, that many people in an area.
Great. So let's talk about the Tropicana's integration into the Caesars Rewards program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little more difficult than these properties, for
sure. Yes, it was.
How have you handled that in terms of rewarding the Tropicana customers and also trying to attract some Caesars customers down there?
You know, I can tell you also from my Grand Victoria days, as soon as customers found out that Grand Victoria Casino was going to be able to get, you know, be part of Total Rewards, Caesars Rewards, we had people saying, when do I get my points?
Right.
You
yeah.
know, and so then we saw more of a consolidation of play. The same thing is occurring at Tropicana. And by the way, that plane is going to be loaded up with customers going to all three locations.
Okay, great.
You know, so that's something that we can, nobody else can do that
right,
here.
Right, yeah.
You know,
sure.
We literally are, you know, it's in it may be plural.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't think it's going to be singular.
Okay.
Because I think we've got a real opportunity to introduce our Caesars Legacy customers to that fantastic product over there. You know, El Dorado put in quite a bit of capital into Tropicana and into all of their properties.
Right, right.
They didn't take the Caesars Legacy approach. Mm-hmm. They're very good at investing in maintenance capital, project capital, slot capital, and emergency capital. Never seen anything like it.
Right.
Our leadership is just wonderful on that. So I think you're going to be seeing more and more of our Caesars Legacy customers via the Caesars Reward Program introduced to Tropicana, and again cross-pollinated, you know, from the both are going to get introduced to the other. And then, you know, you probably heard our CEO Tom Reeg talk about the wallet, the global wallet that we're going to have. We're going to be we are a little bit later on the interactive sports side of the equation.
Right.
I can tell you that that was kind of on purpose because we had to go through the whole William Hill acquisition.
Right.
And now that that's done, we also have some outstanding people that have stayed with us from William Hill, including some product and technology expertise that is, I think, going to be industry leading. So with us being the largest gaming company in the United States, and with all things interactive sports and mobile growing rapidly, stay tuned on what Caesars does with sports and the interactive side of the equation. And again, getting your points on everything. You know, you're getting reward credits on every single thing that you're, so it makes no sense for you to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
as you know, consolidating share of wallet is always a smart move by any company.
No question about that. So entertainment is starting to come back.
Yes.
I was really impressed last summer when Harris did the outdoor entertainment behind the property here. And they weren't big acts, but it was at least an attempt to bring back entertainment. And now I know you've got a lot of big acts coming back to Caesars and Harris, for that matter.
Headliners are going to be part of the package. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be, well, and so I was at Tropicana last night, and I was taking a look at Boogie Nights.
Mm-hmm.
So that's opening up next week.
My friend Dave Pena.
That's an exciting concept.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And we just had an all-employee rally over there where Jackie Grace, who's our GM, did a 70s theme where everybody dressed up in 70s attire.
That's cool.
And it was just, it was outstanding. It was outstanding. So you're going to see entertainment come back in a big way in all three locations. And that's so some of what you mentioned at Harris is absolutely going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
Tropicana is going to kick back in. We've got some discussions on what's going to be going back into their showroom beyond Masters of Illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got some other things going on. I think Masters of Illusion starts July 1st. I can't remember. I'll have to double check on that. And then Caesars, one thing I can't completely talk about. Let's just say we're going to have something very novel, creative, unique, and very, very exciting at Caesars in terms of the entertainment.
We will hold our breath on that.
For those listening who currently operate a multi-site casino portfolio or are looking toward expansion, Konami Synchros has the industry's true one-card loyalty system solution to help you achieve your goals. Patron activity at one casino location, including comp points, tier points, pin resets, address changes, and more, can be seamlessly shared at sister properties in real time with Konami Synchros. Data is automatically maintained for absolute consistency and data integrity across your entire property portfolio. For more, schedule a demo at KonamiGaming.com/system. And now back to our podcast.
Is an interesting area. This is where I've heard some of the rumors. I'm not going to repeat them now.
Oh, there's a few. There's
an offline.
That's another. Well, look, so as you probably know, it has been tough to find employees for certain areas, or in general.
Sure,
I mean,
right.
We were experiencing the same issues in Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to anybody in our business, and it's certain positions are very, very difficult to find right now. The hangover from COVID, unfortunately, this is my opinion, the extension of the federal unemployment benefit, that's not helping the hiring process.
No.
So we're having to get very creative, you know, on wages and benefits and, you know, all kinds of ways to attract people to migrate, back into the workforce. We want to open up, you know, in some of our locations, food and beverage 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging, because you have to find the people. We want to make sure we're servicing all the rooms. It's challenging because, trying to find the people. But believe me, we're working very, very hard on that. So days of the week are being expanded. Hours are being expanded.
Mm-hmm.
The non-gaming side, I hate to see lines. Everybody hates lines.
Right.
So we're doing everything we can to find the employees to open for the days needed, which is most of them now, right, and the hours of operation, which mm-hmm. we are expanding. So non-gaming is definitely a growing segment here.
Right.
And people are just, I think, so happy to get out.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much pent-up demand,
sure,
you know, of
yeah.
people that have been, you know, constrained
yeah.
for so long. And that's just not the way most people think. They don't
right.
like that.
Yeah.
So
no.
they're really coming out and enjoying themselves. And we're not seeing people, you know, do crazy things either. I mean, it's just they're coming out and enjoying themselves.
Right, yeah.
They're being entertained.
Right, right. So, are
and,
there...
And by the way, on the other new things that we're doing, yes, mm-hmm. we have a few very exciting new things, mm-hmm. one of which I've been involved with before,
yeah.
One of which I have not. Another one is I, you know, need to talk about is a separate thing, but there's a lot of food, beverage, and entertainment concepts that are going to be part of that $400 million expenditure. So
okay.
we're not only fixing up, renovating all the rooms, and they're going to be beautiful. All the rooms are going to be done, unless it's, let's say, less than 5 years old. As you
right.
know, that doesn't really need much work then. But everything else is going to be completely renovated, beautiful new rooms, elegant, classic, exciting, everything, you know, well-outfitted. The food and beverage is going to be, I think, league leading. It's going to mm-hmm. it's going to set some standards, and I think people are going to be very excited about it. You know, it's just right across the board. The investment's going to be there, and all of this should go in prior to, again, July of 2022.
Right, right.
We're trying to move as fast as we can. New gaming product.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of capital allocated to new gaming
right.
product. You're already going to start to see some of that. We have meetings next week that are going to be to accelerate that entire process.
Mm-hmm.
We're meeting with the manufacturers. A meeting last week we did. Next week we're going to. Our slot and gaming guys are coming out so that we can get this thing moving as fast
mm-hmm.
as possible.
Okay, that sounds great. So how about meetings and conventions? You have great meeting space here. You just mentioned Mike Massari's coming out
yes.
next week. And, you know, this you got some great space here, great space at Caesars, certainly at Tropicana as well. I mean, how long is that going to take to ramp back? Now?
Yeah, so we're starting to see it kick back in here, certainly,
mm-hmm.
at Harrah's Atlantic City. I mean, this venue is... I mean, I've seen, you know, what we have out west,
right.
you know, especially in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Forum is outstanding.
Right.
Unfortunately, just as it was about to open,
right. mm-hmm.
we closed due to COVID. But that obviously is league leading. This one here, though, at Harrah's Atlantic City, you know, anywhere along the East Coast, go all the way from, you know, I don't know, Baltimore up to Boston,
right.
you're going to see nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we are definitely into that market big time. We have some a little bit of discretionary spend that we can, you know, move in the right direction to make minor tweaks. But
mm-hmm.
really, that is just a fantastic venue. We've got, as you know, quite a bit of space also at Tropicana
right.
and at Caesars Atlantic City. So I can assure you, Mr. Massari is going to be helping us a lot
yeah.
here in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of weekday mm-hmm. activity. It's starting now. But it ramps up in the fourth quarter,
right.
and then 2022 bookings are already pacing beautifully. A lot of group and meetings that were in 2020 that canceled and
mm-hmm.
were waiting are now booking for 2022.
Right, right.
So it's going to be a resumption of the group and meeting and convention business.
Sure.
Here.
And of course, you're cooperating with the Meet AC people, you know, to bring conventions to the convention center here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, anything that's like citywide or whatever, obviously we want to be a part of that, because Atlantic City, we want Atlantic City to be the focus. We don't want to lose it to another location.
Right.
And whether it's just with us or whether it's a shared citywide, great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it to Atlantic City.
Okay. So you sold Bally's to Bally's now.
Yes, Bally's. Yes.
And I think they got a great deal on it. But you maintained the Wild Wild West.
Yes.
Which is now part of Caesars.
Yes.
And that always was a really unique gaming hall, because you had all kinds of fun things going on, cornhole and basketball shooting.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And
that
all,
unique mountain. So that's where I go to look at mountains now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since
that's
I can't
as close as you're gonna get.
I was looking up at the 10,000-foot Sierra Nevada. That is every day.
Right,
those
yeah.
days are gone. So I go down to Wild Wild West and look at that mountain bar there. But no, so we're lucky. Okay,
yeah.
We're right on the boardwalk. Bally's is over here. You know, great product, of course. Let's just say we're looking at doing something in part of the Wild Wild West footprint, which is
sure.
to be even more entertainment,
right.
but preserving that nice slice that points right towards the best sports book
right.
in Atlantic City
right.
with the biggest screen on the East Coast. I mean, that... I think when we get done there with what we're planning on
mm-hmm.
doing, let's just say,
right.
In part of that space, and then keeping, let's say, the central part of it preserved,
mm-hmm.
and then pointing right at the sports book, I think people are going to be wanting to spend time in that, if you will, triangle.
Right, right, yeah. The sports book is fantastic. I mean, it's the biggest one, as you say, in Atlantic City. It reminds everybody of the Superbook or the big one at Caesar's Palace.
It's fantastic, and I think it's got some opportunity, Roger, in the back. So you've got some of the booth seating in the back, which is nice. I think there's even a, let's say, a stadium possibility there terms of VIP events where we could, because we've got a footprint there that we can take advantage of. So that isn't fully finished yet.
Yeah.
So I think that there's some more upside there. And again, it's great to have the Wild Wild West because it's an attractant to millennials, which are new to, let's just say, they're starting to enjoy the food and the beverage and the entertainment and the gaming.
Right.
And they certainly are mobile orientated, so that would fit right in with our Caesars Sports Interactive.
Whenever I play blackjack, that's where I go because you got the better rules there.
Yes, indeed. Oh, yes. Yes, that is true. That is true.
So, that's going to be an important part of your whole process here, I imagine.
It's just going to be a compliment to the whole thing. So you're really going to have every segment. I mean, Caesar's going to have some of the highest end, let's just say, food and beverage available.
Right.
Not to mention hotel. Another thing working on there. And so we're going to have every segment that you can think of, from groups and meetings to the millennial crowd. That loves the Wild Wild West. What our entertainment is going to be, and then some of the finest dining in the market.
Sure.
So
we've got it
all.
So. Online gaming obviously played a big part here in New Jersey. With the when the pandemic hit, the revenue soared.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is that they haven't really gone down since the casinos reopened. So
I think we hit a record in January, $100 million, and it's only going up from there. And
Caesars has increased their share of the market as well.
And they will continue to, Roger. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Again, we almost purposely have gone a little bit late on because of the William Hill acquisition. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned on what that's all called, there's things that we have in the works right now which are going to be gradually rolled out, and I think by the time we're all done, some of the other organizations that have enjoyed more share are not going to enjoy as much share.
Yeah, and that's already happening, I think, a bunch of different entities for sure.
Well, why wouldn't you want to be a part of this, too?
Right.
Because just not on the sports, it's on everything
that you can
get the reward and credits
on. It's much more profitable on the casino side than it is on the sports side as well.
So, yes, sir. So you're migrating that customer into the brick and mortar, but then they continue to enjoy the entertainment side, interactive.
Right.
They can play at home or wherever.
So, that was a question I had as well. There hasn't really been a lot of effort to bring the online player into the brick and mortar casino.
Yes, sir. I mean, that is correct. For the moment, that's correct.
Of course. But it's taken a while for them. Some of the properties are doing that now. But is Caesars going to really ramp up that kind of procedure there?
I would say that the term would be league leading in that area.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I think we're not ramping as quickly as we could right now. On purpose because there's certain things that we have to get through. However, I can assure you that there is a huge focus on this. And once it really gains traction, you're going to see a very, very steady increase in that particular migration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The digital migration will be, I think, for us, huge.
Okay. And of course, the link to the Caesars Rewards program makes it that much more valuable.
The best in the business.
Yeah,
the best loyalty program in the business and getting better.
Right, right. Okay. So in a recent report by the AGA, Atlantic City was the number two revenue producer in the gaming industry, behind the Las Vegas Strip. We're seeing new casinos coming on, possibly in New York City and Chicago.
Yes.
Do you think Atlantic City can maintain that position going forward?
We're facing competition. Northeast, Eastern Corridor. Major MSAs surrounding us. Of course, it's growing rapidly, but nobody is Atlantic City.
Right.
Nobody's got this beautiful beach. Nobody's got this infrastructure. We can do it all right here in a beautiful beachside environment. Mm-hmm. So, our $400 million investment, I'm not sure what the competitors are doing yet, but I can tell you that we are absolutely invested, if I could use a pun on purpose, here in Atlantic City, and that's not changing. And whereas we are facing some stiff competition, I think we're going to have more reasons for people to come to Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that it is strong competition here. There's no doubt about it. But I see that our upside has not been achieved yet.
Right.
And I think that our upside is still yet to come.
Right. Okay, great. So I just have one more question. It's about corporate culture. When I was interviewing Gary Carano for the cover of our October issue, he was trying to explain to me what the El Dorado culture was.
Yes.
And it's almost as family oriented. And then when you come into a huge corporation like Caesars, that's kind of hard to communicate to the employees and the team members. How are you going to do that here in Atlantic City to communicate that we're all in this together, we're all a team?
So I am probably in the best senior management position to compare cultures.
Right, you
since
are.
Since I was with Harrah's and then Caesars for 19 and a half years. And then was lucky enough that Tom and Anthony and Gary hired me and worked for Glenn Carano at Grand Victoria. So I was able to see the contrast in culture. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, they talk the talk, but they walk the walk. Mm-hmm. They really believe in family style service, the core values, smiling, making eye contact, speaking in a positive, upbeat manner, solving guest problems, and wishing a fond farewell. Those core values, let's just say, were not as consistent in the previous culture. They were there, and some properties did a very good job at consistently adhering to the core values and really had that culture, but it certainly wasn't there, in my opinion, at the C-suite level. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't there.
Right.
Whereas it is here with Tom and Anthony and Gary and Brett and Stephanie and the entire leadership team. Everybody that I have worked with at the ERI legacy side of the equation, they don't like bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. Whereas, let's just say, maybe the past, there was more of that. They love the ability for the properties to have more autonomy. Yeah. They want the properties to have more autonomy, and they want everybody to be embracing family style service, which are a little bit more than the core values that I just stated. But it is a wonderful and refreshing approach. They care about the employees, the team members. Mm-hmm. They care about the customers, and they care about shareholder value. And they're constantly working on all three. Mm-hmm. It never stops. So we're going through family style service training. It is going to be throughout the entire company. I know in Grand Victoria Casino we did it. Mm-hmm. And we are certainly going to do it here on our Atlantic City properties. It's going to start very soon.
Great.
And, the management needs to set the example too. So I had a lot of, success in Laughlin and then Tahoe with our, what we called Spotlight on Success 5, similar core standards. By the way, Sheraton had four standards. We ended up with five at Caesars, and family style service is just basically the same core four or five. All great service companies have those core standards.
Right.
The question is, do you consistently deliver on them? Mm-hmm. And are people held accountable to deliver on them? And so that's where we need to pick it up a little bit. And the ERI legacy approach there is going to be a cultural change that is going to be nothing but trade up. And it will be one of our advantages, I think. I'm not knocking the competition. I'm just saying that we really believe in that. It is a core value, and it won't. It'll happen.
Yeah.
There's no excuses for it not to happen. And I've already begun, some observations here, talking with the GMs here, telling them what I've noticed and what we need to, focus on right away. And one of the big things is problem solving. People want their problems solved.
Right.
They don't want ducking. They don't want blaming. Mm-hmm. They don't want excuses. They don't want people, looking away. And so these are things that we're going to focus on right away to make sure that we are solving guest problems or finding someone who can.
Right.
So I love the ERI family style culture that you talked to Gary Carano about. They demonstrate it. They did it in Reno. They've done it everywhere they've gone. And I think it's a blend that's going to take 6 months to a year to get consistently into all of the properties around the organization. But I am a customer service cheerleader, and it will happen here faster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, John, congratulations on being named regional president of the Atlantic City properties for Caesars. I think that's obviously an important element of the entire company. So,
yes, sir.
So they must place a lot of trust in you, and it must be exciting for you to be able to do that.
Well, you go from the initial "we don't know you" interviewing process, where you have to interview with a lot of people, and they're taking a leap of faith.
Yep.
Can this person do it? Mm-hmm. They saw what happened at Grand Victoria Casino, and they were very happy. Didn't do a lot in corporate, but they definitely saw what happened in Harrah's and Harvey's Lake Tahoe and what we did there, which, again, all-time record-setting. Everywhere I've gone, and this I'm not bragging, but everywhere I've gone, we've been able to trade up.
Right.
And I think that they know that. And I am so thankful that they have trusted me and have confidence in me and have given me this opportunity. And by the way, we've got three great general managers here.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Lattes, Jackie Grace, and Greg Klein. They are doing a great job. They've got great teams. And we have, a tremendous regional team, Noel right here.
Yes.
And our marketing staff, you know, Jen, and yeah, look, it's real, and Bessie on the legal side, who, you know, keeps us pointed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've really got some great people here. I have never, you know, come into a new position other than Tahoe, and felt so welcome, mm-hmm. and supported, with a team enthusiastic about this $400 million investment, our family style service culture, and the great things that are going to occur with Caesars Interactive and all of the wonderful new product we're going to have here in Atlantic City to help our properties and Atlantic City. This is going to benefit everybody.
Absolutely. Great. Well, I'm sure we're going to talk again when we hear some more of these rumors coming true. And
they're not rumors. It's going to happen. Okay, I just can't tell you what it is
yet. All right, great. Well, we will talk again when we can talk more in more detail about that. And thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for this opportunity, Roger. I appreciate it and look forward to talking with you more.
Great.
Thank you, sir. Enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by Konami Gaming. Visit KonamiGaming.com/systems for more about the Synchros Casino Management System. To learn more about the Atlantic City casino market and Caesars' plans for it, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly the recovery from the pandemic, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGBNews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.